Jump back, Jack. No brakes. This is the Helm. This is WFMU East Orange. Pertaining to, that was Bob Moore in the Temps with Trophy Run. Roy Buchanan on lead guitar there. Roy bought the farm this week in the Fairfax County Jail.
Roy finally got it right. He tried to do it a couple of times before. Very moody, drunk, and it's a homeboy of mine actually lived in Reston, which will do it to just about anybody. One of the first and most venal planned communities in the country. Mm.
Bruce, it was preventable.
Il Bruce is back, as you might have noticed, folks.
Hi, folks.
That thing was preventable.
That's right. Tell him how he could have prevented this.
Well, as we all know, he was involved as a guitar player with the fabulous Dale Hawkins, who at this point and still is running a suicide hotline. So you can dial Dale, and he'll talk you out of it.
Do you have the phone number for the Dale Hawkins suicide hotline?
I don't have it on me. I have it at home, though.
Next week we'll get it for you, folks, along with the Carl Perkins Child Abuse Center.
Yeah.
Can we call them and have them send over a 12-year-old girl for me or something I can abuse on the air?
Possibly, but... you'd have to ask them. They're very nice.
We'll do that later on.
Accommodating.
The young lady's voice you just heard, that's she's our guest DJ today, the only guest DJ who sits when they pee that we would allow here on the Hound Show. I'll tell you that. Well, actually, yeah. I don't know. I've never actually... Anyway, Newham is here promoting the new issue of Kicks Magazine, and it's a doozy. Big full-color picture of the Bobby Fuller Four on the cover there, playing in all kind. This is amazing.
Hello. Do you have me on?
You're on. Yeah. What are you screaming about?
Well, hello there, everybody. We're here visiting the Hound on the Hound Show, and we're coming here with our automotive products and also with the new Kicks magazine, which I hope everybody is out there either purchasing or has purchased or stolen from See Here or wherever. But at any rate, we're going to be spinning some of these hot wax that you may not have heard in the magazine and other stuff that you do want to hear. And Hound, do you want to butt in at this moment and spin something else?
Yay! High school spirit, everybody.
High school spirit in the Flint area. Which high school has the most high school spirit in the Saginaw Bay City Midland area? WTAC wants to know. Yes, WTAC wants signatures on petitions showing which school from each area has the most high school spirit. The only way the WTAC All-American Good Guys can find out is by the number of signatures on petitions submitted by each high school. Get your petition signed now. You can sign as many petitions as you like, but sign each petition only once. Write the name of your school at the top of each petition. The school bringing the most signatures on petitions in the Flint area and the school bringing the most from the Saginaw Bay City Midland area will each win these fantastic prizes. A stereo hi-fi for your school. A stereo hi-fi for your principal. And a gigantic free record hop with the WTAC All-American Good Guys. Get those petitions signed now and bring them to WTAC by November 1st. Get as many signatures as possible from your school. No petition signing during school hours.
That's right. No petition signing during school hours, of kids.
So don't go to school, everybody. Right. Just sign those petitions.
Take the day off. Take your petition. Take your petition out to the local mall. Take your petition out to the local mall. Cut school and...
Okay, stop talking and start spinning.
We got the Rivieras here queued up.
They're
not in the new issue of Kicks, but they're a perennial Kicks favorite.
They've had their chances.
Hey, where can the folks go buy Kicks?
What's that?
Where can the folks out there go buy the new issue of Kicks if they don't have it?
They can buy it at See Here, Forbidden Planet, Final Vinyl, Bleaker Bob's,
Hideout Records,
Hideout, where else? All over the place. Any fine record emporium that you might... Midnight Records with a fabulous Frenchman there.
Je dis matin, my buddy.
And,
okay, hit the record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Riviera is fabulous. We all want to hear them. We also all want to hear Florian Monday, don't we, Hound?
Si.
Yeah. Red light, pigs at night, a collarless jacket, that's right. And my mongo boots are shining bright. Mongo, 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 mongo. Hey, mongo, where mongo? Cozy, you're good with the book, but the mongo men are cool with the look. If you don't ever want to be seen, you gotta be mongo from the head to your feet. Mongo, 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 mongo. Hey, mongo, come here, mongo. Collarless jacket, that's right. And my mongo boots are shining bright. Mongo, 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 mongo. Hey, mongo, hey, mongo. Holy, she's good with the book, but the mongo men are cool with the look. If you don't ever want to be beat, you gotta be mongo from the head to your feet. Mongo, 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 mongo. Hey, mongo, go get him, mongo. Mongo.
This is a hit.
Hey, here comes Herb.
Herb who?
Jimmy Herb.
This is a hit!
No, it
wait a second.
Just us.
Wrong cart.
No echo either.
Well, it was a hit anyway, and that was the Bonnevilles, of course, doing Dirty Herb on the Question Mark record label, of course. I think some of you might have spotted that in the record review section of Kix.
Hold on, let's start this right.
What?
Meanwhile, back in the States.
There we go. Now I feel much better.
Yeah, all right. Well, so anyway, do you want me to repeat that all over again?
No. If you want.
It was the Bonnevilles.
It's still the Bonnevilles, for those of you scoring.
Dirty Herb.
Bruce has been here.
Question mark
rolling
records.
Over the sleeve. I think he's in love with the with Dirty Herb, this rather corpulent.
I'd say about VG minus.
Toward the guys in the white jackets. Wonderful, wonderful. But at any rate, as some of you may know and some of you may not know, We got Kix, but we also got this record label called Norton, plug, 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 and we got a hot.
The people that brought you Hazel Atkins,
yes,
Escarita, and what do you got coming up?
Well, one of the many multitudinous wonderful things that we have lined up for the very near future is the Rockin' R's, Peoria's finest, Crazy Baby, as you may recall, is one of your very favorite records, Howard.
Yep.
And here we've got something called Nameless from the Rockin' R's. We're going to be putting out an album of unreleased, crazy, wacky, wiki-wacky kind of Rockin' R's kind of stuff. And let's spin Nameless and let people hear what they're about to enjoy.
Yes, boss.
In the very near future.
And next week will be not Brotherhood Week, but Anti-White Week.
I
back in the jungle.
You know, this is the hound. Dan, you're a little slow on the draw there. But big on the effects. Ah, yeah. Polish Lightning, the Denster in the back. Anyway, Miriam Winna from Kix Magazine is here choosing these discs.
Hey, yeah.
And you couldn't have chosen a finer one than that one. Tell them what it was.
Well, I could have tried, but I don't think I would have succeeded. It was Gene Monte's Raging Sea on the fabulous Lilac label, which we all love and adore. Bruce, you're getting mighty close to my lips there.
Ooh.
Get over it, Miriam. Turn to page 61 in your hymnal, folks, and dig the picture of Gene Monte is looking exactly like Evan Johns.
Yeah, he's a doll, and...
Wait, honey, since I'm driving to Newark...
This is quite. There's a story on in Kicks, in the new issue of Kicks, yeah, on the subject of Gene Maltes, The Road to Rhythm, page 61, folks. You're following along. Not only is he a big ugly mother, but his story is quite amazing.
You should talk.
I beg your pardon.
He's a good-looking man with a wonderful greasy hair job there.
He looks just like Evan Johns.
Well, what's wrong with that? He's a good-looking, talented man. I don't know why he didn't go farther. He seemed to be all over the country doing his thing. And,
he certainly traveled enough. His story is really one of the most amazing in the history of rock and roll, I must say.
It really is, and authored by the fabulous Jack Warner, a writer of no small repute.
Who is Jack Warner?
Famous studio head as well.
I'm not sure, but he sends us a lot of coffee. He is a coffee distributor, and at one point he definitely gave us a big boost in the Heinies by sending us a huge crate of pre-ground, pre-measured coffee packets, which kept us up to late hours typing and laying out, if you know what I mean.
Speaking of which, we're being served the Lynn Mill Mystery Appetizer. Everybody tinkle your glasses, and... Miriam, more tell us what's in this stuff.
Miriam, looks like rabbit pellets. What is that?
You're close.
They are rabbit pellets.
Well, at any rate...
Look at that, man.
At any rate...
This is WFMU Stories, by the way.
The only way that the hound would let me come on, he said, bring something to eat or drink. And so I decided to cook up something my mother's been preparing for many a moon every summer to refresh people. It has something that Bruce refers to as rabbit pellets in it. I think they should keep gassing until the end of the show. What do you think, folks? Well, I hope you're thinking. At any rate, another good story.
Would that be a present for me in your hand there?
This is. Wrapped in this pretty pink tissue paper, which you may be listening to out there. It happens to be a gift that I purchased recently at Woolworths, which seems to be a perfect lead-in for this next record. I'm going to hand it to the hound, and while he's crinkling it open, let me tell you what it's going to be.
A radio sight gag.
Yeah. It's a record by Duty Woo. This is Big Sambo, who's going to be cranking away on this thing. If you read the... Well, you political hound, what can I say?
What the present was, folks, is a the Freedom Comb by Cornell. It's a giant pink afro pick with little things on the end that make them look like big stick matches. It's metal, it's a good weapon, and it's got a peace sign cut out.
And what's on the top there?
A pink fist.
Like, and what's that mean, hound?
I noticed that the thumbnail has a little brown on it.
Well, at any rate, what I meant it as is a fine introduction to one of the few black records which are featured in Kicks.
This is
one of the very few issues that does not feature a whole hell of a lot of black music.
Yeah, usually there's black guys on the cover.
That's right.
Big hair.
That's
good hair.
Right. That's right. So at any rate, this is a little less hair, but a whole lot of wazoo. And if you're getting ready to spin this disc, it is Big Sambo hooting and howling away there on that less than mellow saxophone. So let it rip. And Andy Brown, thanks for digging up this hair.
Listen to the sounds of hell.
Everybody's always asking me, do the woo, do you do the twist? Then I tell it to them and I tell it to you. Certainly I do. Then you twist it to the right, twist it to the left. Sometimes you think you're going to twist it to the left. Come on, let's twist. Well, everybody twist. When you're doing the twist, you know just what I mean. You can twist it up, twist it down. Sometimes you twist it around and around. Come on, let's twist it. You sure can twist it, baby. But when you do the twist, you know just what booty means. We'll be right back.
Does it all around till you're twisting up here? Come on, let's twist it. You know you can twist it. But if you do the duty twist, you know just what duty means, baby. Now twist it right on down. This is a hit!
Jumped out and they lined up two by two, and then they started rolling to the same loopy blue. The heartbeat in the rock said to Keeler, the leader, take me to the gap they call the purple people leader. It's a heather, a rock or die. Well, short whose eyes were shining, from skeletons to wear, a wedding market man. Oh, this rock and roll ain't dead.
Brother
Zombie, the earth begins to tremble, these guitars made the sound. Raunchy Man and Rembrandt, they were rocking all around.
Incidentally, our sponsors are Jew, Mr. Goldie. Mr. Goldie has put out a great thing, the King Kong hair straightener. A lot of you cats, you know, have the frightening wigs. So this puts it down, man. I mean, oh, so much. That's how you get the white chicks.
while back in the States.
You know, this is The Hound. This is WFMU East Orange. When Miriam Lena is guest DJing and spinning the new discs out of the new issue of Kicks magazine.
Right? Because,
So you want to tell us what we heard, or should I do it?
Well, what do you think?
What do I think?
It was Floyd the Kill. Of course.
Floyd
we pulled into Texas, and we're not leaving for quite a spell now.
Dackle for with Bad Boy.
Why do you say Dackle? It's like the Kill. The Kill, you big wheel. But at any rate, fabulous.
You're right.
Bad Boy. And he's putting that back into the green sleeve, and we're now about to spin some Catalina stuff. We're in Dallas. We're going to head down south in Texas in a bit. But at any rate, we also heard Wombie Zombie in there. Did you introduce that?
Billy Taylor? No, I didn't.
Yeah, fantastic. And I think that we should all know that Billy Taylor did do time immediately after making that record.
I think he sort of earned it.
Well, he went straight out to a 7-Eleven store and held it up. I guess the royalty checks hadn't come in. Just an interesting tidbit, one of many fabulous tidbits that Larry Harrison dug up. Fabulous author, renowned Texas madman, Larry Harrison.
That's page 47 in your hymnal, Sparks.
That's right, and he's from Fort Worth, and he's a really wild guy, and he dug up a whole lot of interesting things, along with Arch Hall and a bunch of good Falco stories in there also.
Mm-hmm.
And you got another thing queued up there, I guess.
Well, we also heard...
Hi, Billy. I just want to say hi to Billy. He's home. I tied him up. I wouldn't let him come along because I know he tries to get in a word edgewise.
Hi, Bill. We also heard Judy Wu. Well, certainly I do. Also,
right.
A.K.A. Big Sambo.
Yeah, certainly did. And he rounded that story, a teenager of some renown of Texas. He's lousy in school, but he likes to listen to his records. What do you got lined up? What do you got lined up? Ow! Bruce, back that thing up.
Be glad when that case is over. Well, make it home as soon as you can, dear, because dinner's special tonight. Pot roast, seasoned with accent.
Yeah! Accent!
Accent on the Catalinas, folks.
Same in two.
I got that fever love that's running me around. I'm chasing women, man, all over this town. My head got dizzy and I can't hardly see what this woman's doing to me. She's my baby, and I love her so. I'm never, never gonna let her go by. Yes, getting speechless. I see her walking by that moonlit bay. I try to speak, but I can't even say. She's my baby and I love her so. I'll never, never let her go. I see her walking by that moonlit bay. I try to speak, but I can't even say. Yes, I'm so speechless. I'm walking by that moonlit bay. I try to speak, but I can't even say. She's my baby and I love her so. Never, never let her go. She's my baby and I love her so. I'm never, never gonna let her go. Wow, yeah, so speechless. Yeah, I see her walking by that moonlit bay. I try to speak, but I can't even say. She's my baby and I love her so. Never let her go. She's my baby and I love her so. I'm never, never gonna let her go. Cause I'm getting speechless. So speechless. Oh, yeah, I'm speechless, man. Operator,
give me the Humane Society. Old man Hickory done run him an alligator. Baby, lose my mind,
was against the law, and it blew my tail over in Arkansas. Yeah, they made a crazy gator out of me. I used to go swimming in the bayou swamp with a chicken alligator with a rock and stomp. My tail was long and kind of cute till it lit that fuse and made me shoot. On a hickory like a piece of wood. I swim the Mississippi down to New Orleans, and when I find old hickory, I'll bite him in the jeans. Yeah, they made a crazy gator out of me. I'm going to the VA to draw my check. You owe it to me, uncle, I'm a total wreck. When a cannonball flies through my head, old hickory left this gator for dead. He has a long lean tail and a cute little rump. If the bloody British decide to sell, I warn my son to protect his tail. Yeah, they made a crazy gator out of me. Yeah, they made a crazy gator out of me.
Meanwhile, back in the jungle.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Who does it?
Overload effect.
Irvin Ress, everybody's favorite.
A little musical flashback.
Oh, I was talking about that.
Oh, you're talking about the echo,
but I like Irvin Ross, too. You want to tell us a little about little Irving Russ?
Yeah, we're in Dallas, and we're in Kicks on page what, 60-something?
No, we're in East Orange.
Oh, that's right. Unfortunately, we're not...
But Irving was involved with our little friend Ronnie Dawson, right?
That's right, and a Felco...
Involved in what way?
Bruce.
I'm sorry.
At any rate, we have some interesting stories coming up on Irvin that also involve the superstar Jack Starr, who's going to be another Norton stablemate. Super-duper superstar.
Stable is right.
So we're going to be featuring Jack in a little while after some news and also after some other wonderful wild things.
If you guys like Hazel Atkins, you're not going to believe Jack Starr. I mean, it's like... Beyond the beyond.
Yeah, that's right. Beyond the beyond. That's a very good description that you had there. And what else did we have there? We had the Catalinas with Speechless.
Catalinas with Speechless.
And what else did we have? That's about all we had.
The Mau Maus with...
Crazy Mau Maus. And we had Crazy Alligator, and you were about to make a little guess on that beverage
what
that you're consuming.
What is in this mystery beverage?
We're trying to go for the mystery beverage served up in the Hogan's Club clam bake.
The Maryland...
I think you were guessing something. What were you guessing?
I think it's gasoline in honor of Bobby Fuller. I'm not sure.
No, that's not it, Bruce. It's close, but no canary.
Folks, in case you're wondering, there's definitely booze in it.
Canary blood is in there.
Yeah, there's something like that. It's an interesting beverage.
We have things to announce here, folks. Tonight on the Late Show, 9:00, Ike Turner will be on, along with May Pang, John Lennon's former girlfriend and convicted murderer Jeffrey McDonald, whose story was profiled through the book Fatal Vision.
I'm handing you something. Please put that on.
Oh, great. Another radio psych gag.
Get him hot.
Tell him what it is.
Oh, it's a big mitten.
That's right. It's an oven mitt. And what it's for, it's for handling the next record, which I believe you're going to be popping on there.
It doubles as a condom. Well, we got to finish our renouncements here for a second. We got tonight over at McGovern's for Free, the Young Wave Hunters. Who are they? Bruce knows who they are.
The sax player from the Ronchans. They're pretty good. They did that River City thing at like 10 in the morning.
Bruce, you told me they were fantastically wild and that you coveted their combo immensely.
Did I?
Yeah.
Talking about somebody else.
Our boy Roscoe and the Delords will be over at CBGB's Wednesday through Saturday.
Oh,
four nights recording for a live disc, so you can go get your voice on the disc. John and Cash will be at the Ritz Friday, a week from yesterday, Friday night. Buck Owens is at the, in New York City at, what's the name of the place? The Beacon Theater, September 10th. It might be sold out.
It is sold out, and unfortunately he's playing with that dork...
Dwight Yoakam. Yeah, a little guy in designer jeans. But Buck's people called my people this week about the High Times article I wrote about him. Buck Owens, a goddamn
genius. Hold on,
genius.
This hot rod's coming right through that jungle. It's coming right through there. Woo! Aye! Oh!
You were saying?
Oh, I never mind. This is WFMU East Orange for the legal ID file.
Hey, but what about that oven mitt? You were going to get out that oven mitt and handle the next record?
Yeah, that, it's not so funny on the radio, though. It would be funnier if we were on TV.
Well, anyway, he's wearing a giant white oven mitt made out of asbestos.
Doubles as a condom.
It says, careful, it's hot. And anyway, he's handling this record delicately now and placing it on the turntable, and it's going to spin. Check this thing out. It sounds like it's going to turn out to be like a nice ballad type of number. It kills. It really kills. So crank it up. You're going to faint when it comes.
On a rainy day, the sun came on, and it stayed that way. I thought my love was here to stay, but I was wrong. Now she's gone, the night's alone, the night's worth driving, such a shame of time. Having no one, I thought you were mine. But to you it was a key. Just a moment. And now you're through. You left me blue. I don't know what to do. And that's what's driving.
Is driving me nuts. I don't know about you, but I'm totally nuts. Bruce here is completely lying on the floor and excited.
You're back.
Yeah. Hey, let's listen to a commercial now, okay? A word from your Pontiac dealer.
Want to see what other cars wish they looked like this year? See the Pontiac Grand Prix.
Pick a
Grand Prix. So beautiful, you'll have to see for yourself. Driving comes alive when you get a Grand Prix for yourself. Turn the Grand Prix key and unleash the all-new Trophy V8. Great! See you now.
Let me ride alone. Long gray highway, let me ride alone. If she don't love me soon, I'm gonna be moving on. Long gray highway, 1,000 miles alone. Long gray highway, 1,000 miles of loneliness.
but I gotta keep a moving. Gonna forget that woman's cute.
Yeah, this is the Hound. This is WFMU East Orange. Liz would shut their mic off.
Did you turn the mic on? Oh.
What are you talking about there?
We were just saying Frank Thayer is what you might call a genius. We took a little left turn or right turn or something. We headed out of Texas, headed for the border, and went up to New Mexico. And when you think of New Mexico, who do you think of? Frank Thayer, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was sort of New Mexico's answer to Elvis Presley, and I think that the answer was pretty doggone good. What do you think, Hound?
Oh, the record, you mean?
What was the question?
It was a masterpiece. I like the sound of the guy playing drums on the trash cans. It's nice.
Huh?
We also heard Ron Straw on his Bucks with Driving.
I see that you were visually moved by that.
Visually moved.
That was really great.
Well, we're on radio.
That's really good.
I didn't mean to take my pants off. Just,
with a record that that starts off like it's going to be just a plain old great record, and then it suddenly, you know, like shocks you to outer space with phenomenal sound, distortion, guitar breaks, piano,
anyway,
vocalizing, what you call great.
I guess it's time for some news.
What segment do you want to do first?
Well, I guess Dan, our Polish Lightning, our news coordinator, has really been working hard on the news today. So I've been handed the kids segment of the news first.
Give us 22 minutes. We'll give you the business.
Yeah. He shoots girl. A 6-year-old boy sent to his room, took his father's 20-gauge shotgun from an unlocked cupboard, and probably playing cops and robbers or something, quote-unquote, fired out the window, wounding a 6-year-old girl with 13 pellets. That was in Laurel, Maryland.
Ah, very, very near my old stomping ground.
A little letter from the Post here from Barney Canary in Wanta. How today's kids got to be the way they are? I'm a 35-year-old mother of four who was sick and tired of hearing how...
You don't look like a 35-year-old mother of four.
Well, there you go. I'm reading a letter, that's what I'm doing, who is sick and tired of hearing how pampered, wimpy, and uncreative today's kids are. Who is making them that way? You older folks have designed instant entertainment, videos that teach baseball, cassettes that sing lullabies, dolls that read nursery rhymes, motorized kiddie cars, and my personal favorite snowman kits.
Can we play another record now?
No. Shut your mic off. Yes, you can buy a kit that includes a hat, scarf, broom, and coal, and carrot sticks. All you need is snow. And our kids are uncreative? Let's get back to basics. A day at the beach. Oh, the beaches are closed. Backyard play. Oops, no ozone layer. A baseball game at the stadium. Can't afford it. Well, I guess it's back to the couch. You like that story, huh, Dan?
Well, it's kind of ties in with the next one.
Oh, okay. It ties in with this next one. Shoplifting boy 9 seized with 121 grand and a magnum. A 9-year-old...
This kid's definitely a self-star.
A 9-year-old New Jersey boy caught shoplifting sunglasses in a Pittsburgh store turned out to be carrying a .357 Magnum revolver and $121,000 in cash in his knapsack. Who says kids have no imagination? Detectives at Horns, an upscale department store, wondered why the boy's ex-convict dad complained about his son's arrest on Monday. When we opened the sack, we immediately understood, said Vice President Mike Aldridge. Aldridge said the blue nylon knapsack was stuffed to the brim with greenbacks. I don't think there was room for anything else in there. The last paragraph said, the father obviously didn't want the kid to be shoplifting with all that money on him. His father was angry at him.
Yeah.
Kids,
you gotta do right, son. You gotta do right.
Yes. Well, let's do one more news story and then we'll spin this record before Miriam has
Can
a
I talk again?
Has a baby.
Huh?
Raise your hand. No, go ahead. Speak. What'd you like
what?
To say?
Well, the rumbers are coming up.
Yeah.
Did you want to hear them?
I said we were going to do one more news story.
Oh,
a
news story.
A
okay, I was just waiting. Okay. Bruce?
This is, come on, this is Den's thing here.
Well, then let Den talk. Go ahead, Den.
No. Want to read a story, Den? Skin Trade Adventures. Wes Meyer, one-time king of skin flicks, is writing a two-volume autobiography, and that's not all. I've been working on an autobiographical movie for the last 7 years that'll be 17 and a half hours long when it's released. I believe that is called The Breast of Russ Meyer. What in the world would warrant a movie of that length? Quote, my important contribution to the business. After all, I started it all. In the 1958, the immortal Mr. Tease went on to make such classic films as Vixen, Cherry, Harry, and Raquel, both amazingly great movies. Vixen has that immortal line, so go find yourself a Pickaninny Sambo. Speaking to Big Sambo, actually, who's written about in Kicks this they were all skin flicks. All of Russ Meyer's movies were high-class skin flicks, though I prefer to call them sex comedies, he says. Meyer is still making money from his sexational fare, though he says he's been out of the business since 1979. My films will outlive Rambo. It's true, they will.
Russ Meyer, we salute you.
Yes.
You are in the Radio Hound Hall of Fame.
Russ
You're
Meyer.
A charter member.
There's a couple of big ones.
Russ, it's your happening, and it freaks me out.
And we were just handed a picture from the Village Voices week of Kitten Navidad, who they found on 50th Street and 7th Avenue with a set of baboons that won't quit.
Nice legs, too. You see the leg ulcers?
Very nice legs. Actually, she was
showing a little age.
About twice a year, she appears at Show World on 42nd Street and 8th Avenue.
And mysteriously enough, so does Dale Asherman.
Yeah. Anyway, the Rumblers.
Oh, wait a minute.
The cold-blooded hound on WFMU, East Orange 91.1 on your dial. If you change your dial, I will break your fingers.
On in Broadway, baby.
Well, I ain't no baby, and that baby loves me. Yes, I ain't no baby, oh, and she's my doll. Oh, well, her name is Alinda, Alinda Lee.
We
Meanwhile, hey, back in the States.
Yeah.
This is the Hound. This is WFMU. Miriam wants to keep coming back on mic every couple of songs, so you're going to have to
listen. Well, because
to
I forget, you know?
We are writing it down.
Well, at any rate, that was the El Dorados. I guess everybody was swinging on that. Like the Kicks magazine tells you, it gets pretty hyper on there, and it has it features a scientifically proven excellence known as speeding up after the guitar break.
Something Miriam has actually tested out in practical application.
Yeah, a technique which I've mastered to perfection during the years.
Without telling the rest of the band.
Yeah. Well, you know, as I say, they have to be driven.
Is everybody listening?
But at any rate, before that, we heard the Rumblers, and you know when I said, wait, and then you spun the record, I had handed you the backside. That was Intersection.
Right.
But it's still a good backside, right? And you like to play that good backside. And
they call me the backdoor hound.
At any rate, the Rumblers, Downey Records, fantastic. We headed out to California there. We're taking 66 back toward Texas in just a little spell of a time. But meanwhile, let's head into a commercial that's going to lead into a big, super-duper, big wow-wow surprise that I'll tell you about in a minute. But we're heading back to Texas in just a minute. Here's a commercial. Whoa!
Ah, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Told you that wasn't cute at all.
Well, it was, but you tried to recue it. But here we go. Leave it on there. It's the Beatles,
God,
your favorite band.
I hate the Beatles.
Yeah.
The only good thing about the Beatles was their drummer.
American
Radio Band Club. And Sean and Yoko, if you're going to the park today, you might want to bring a sweater.
From the All-Americans of WABC to the Beatles of England, you can get your Beatles Fan Club membership cards free by sending me a self-addressed stamped on.
Wouldn't you rather have a dog-style cassette, folks?
WABC, New York 23.
But listen, that's, you're going to be hearing the Beatles like you never heard the Beatles, and it's coming
up. WABC, New York 23, for American Radio Fan Club headquarters. WABC for the Beatles.
Yeah. Got a mop top there, Sonny.
Anyway.
Let it rip.
But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel all right. You know I work all day to get the money to buy you things. And it's worth it to hear you say you're gonna give me everything. So I love to come home, 'cause when I get you alone, you know I feel okay. When I'm home,
Andy, Lauren, would you get some ice on your way back in, please? Thank you.
Feeling you holding me tight. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a log. But when I get home with you, I find the things that you do make me feel alright.
Thank you.
be sleeping like a log. But when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel all right. Will make me feel.
And next week will be not Brotherhood Week, but Anti-White Week.
Yeah, well, we were back in El Paso for that one, and really enjoying ourselves with Long John Hunter. Fabulous, fabulous record. And if you guys were...
Long John Hunter was still playing now.
Oh, sorry about that. Well, I guess you really were in the mood for Long John Hunter there. But at any rate, he's the guy who really inspired Jim Reeves and Bobby Fuller and a whole slew of El Paso guitar players back in the late 50s and early 60s when rock and roll was still doing its thing in El Paso. And you can find out about this by picking up on your Kicks magazine there in your local record emporiums. But at any rate, before
says
that...
Here, says here in my issue of Kicks that Long John Hunter was a big junkie.
Well, perhaps in his later years he was, and who are we to see?
Enjoyed a little taste.
But at any rate, I like the description of his live shows where he played at the lobby in Juarez, hanging from one hand.
Where Roscoe got his new cowboy hat and boots.
Oh, really?
Juarez, yeah.
And swinging from the rafters and wanging away on that guitar, and apparently it was quite a really big shoe, and we're really glad that Long John Hunter was and is, or if he is, whatever, because he really did inspire a lot of really great rock and roll to
was
come
it,
out of
wasn't his what, long?
And I'll ignore that remark. But at any rate, before that, what did we have, Hound?
Johnny Litchfield with A Hard Day's Night. That was better than the Beatles.
Well, we had a slew of calls there, people calling in saying, wow, what's the surprise? That's the Beatles, but it sounds like country music.
We also had a call that says you sound like Lisa Silwa.
Who's Lisa Silwa?
She's the guardian angel, a real ice bitch and the guardian angel chick.
I think they picked
she
up on
like
my...
She lives a couple blocks away from me.
They picked up on my visual beret across over the air.
I think it was the karate chops you've been throwing.
But at any rate, what's the big treat on that last record there, Johnny Luttrell?
What about it?
Guess who's on drums.
Ronnie Dawson.
You clever hound, you. That's absolutely
right. I knew his drumming style.
Ronnie Dawson is pounding away at the big beat on that record, and wow, pretty unbelievable, huh?
It's a pretty amazing big beat. We got some more news here. Il Bruce, you got the entertainment news lined up?
Yeah, you bet.
You've also got
a
mouthful of food. You want to do it or you want to eat? We can spin a record.
Let's do it, baby.
Let's do it.
They
threw us Strohs.
From the entertainment desk, headline today's post, no more Mr. NASA guy. Singer John Denver, miffed at NASA's rebuff of his request for a space shuttle ride, has turned to the Soviet Union, a space industry magazine reported yesterday. Asked the Soviets if he can fly along on one of their, Soyuz things. Quote, the Soviets responded with two conditions. They told Denver they would charge him $10 million for the ride, and they had to get permission from the U.S. government. Sort of like a field trip. He's been a guest of NASA at several space shuttle launches and has asked several times over the years for a shuttle ride, saying he wanted to compose in orbit a song about space.
But wouldn't he bring James Burton with him is the question.
Pardon me?
Think he'd get to bring James Burton with him?
I don't know. It's a shame he didn't go up on that Challenger thing, you know?
Yeah.
Denver feels apparently, quote, responsible for the whole civilian and space program getting started. Well, you know what a big success that was, folks? That teacher blowing up in front of the class?
Yeah.
There was something else on the internet. The Rolling Stone, apparently, having gotten through with the album thing, has turned to 45s and has named the top 100 singles of the last 25 years.
My stomach slowly turns.
Yeah, this guy David Hinckley in the Daily News, I think he's the same guy who shot Reagan, actually.
Yeah.
He had some kind of funny observations.
Get it for the Joe.
As it stands, he says, the first 10 years of rock and roll were still excluded, but who are Chuck Berry, Buddy Holly, Clyde McFadden, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, or Elvis Presley really? What did they have to do with the early history of Rolling Stone?
Not to mention Arch Hall Jr., Herbie Duncan, and Kid Thomas.
Mysteriously enough, Uptown Girl by Billy Joel and Hotel California are in there.
Yeah, in the top 100 singles.
And as Mr. Hinckley puts it, seeing I Want to Know What Love Is at number 54, frankly, is like finding a fish head in a chocolate mousse.
I don't get it. What does that mean, Bruce?
Hey, Lauren, how do they select these things anyway?
Lauren from Rolling Stone is here. This is. Can we repeat something you told us in the car there, Lauren?
Okay, what?
Can I repeat something you told us in the car? Okay, Jan Wenner called the guys, you know, who were putting that 100 top singles together and said, you have to have Billy Joel in there. He'd be very upset if you didn't.
Billy Joel?
That's how they run things at Rolling Stone.
Getting
a little closer to the mic there, Beb.
I'm saying it was an elaborate process to pick these things.
It took three whole dartboards.
Well, anything that didn't include the Rolling Stone logo in a song, of course, you know, those were the top two.
Was excluded.
And then they just engraved about 2,500 songs on ping pong balls, and then they shot them into those little lottery machines, and then they picked the rest of them. And that's how it was done.
They must have worn out a pack of mirrors and razor blades for this one.
Yeah.
What have we been doing the last 2 weeks? It's exciting. So anyway. There you have it.
Speaking of entertainment news and platters, Elvis Ghost, his first platter turns up. This guy, Ed Leek, who was claims he was a friend of Elvis's back when before Elvis was recording for Sun Records, claims that Elvis, who walked into the Sun recording studio in 1954 to cut a disc for $4, a two-song thing for his mom, where he did My Happiness and That's When Your Heartaches Begin, left the disc at Ed Leek's house, who tried to return it in the mid-50s, but Elvis could not be reached. Claims he's turned up this one-of-a-kind item. There's one Billy doesn't have. She could buy it for him for his birthday.
Huh?
She'd buy it for Billy's birthday for him. Because it's the only Elvis record you don't have, probably.
That and Live at the Burger King in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Mm. Anyways, what else is going on here? Because we got something else queued up while we're waiting for the Vibe report, which should be in about 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay, can I talk about this now?
Certainly.
I mean, Bruce stuffed a sock in my mouth and told me to shut up during the news, so, you know, can I talk now?
A sock.
Bruce.
It wasn't a sock, folks.
Well, at any rate, my hand is raised. Can I please? At any rate, Bob Taylor in the counts is what's coming up, and the Hounds got...
No, it's not what you gave me to queue up. You gave me the Rumblers. I don't need you no more.
Oh, of course, the Rumblers.
Now,
dig this record.
Dig it.
What year was it, Town? 62, 63? I believe it was 1962 that this record came out.
Yeah.
When you hear this, you're really going to blow your mind, excuse the expression, because here's a record that's coming out, like, before the Beatles... as the Hound puts it, his favorite group, hit these shores. Here was a band in California, an R&B/surf band, doing this thing. Believe me, it's 1962, and they're doing this thing. It's unbelievable. Let it rip, Hound. It's going to fry your brain.
They've heard it before, but it's a great one.
Yeah.
ever hit. Now don't be a bad.
Back in the jungle.
You know, this is the Hound. You want to roll a little tape there? Boy, we're getting the last hour of the show. I'm back on the echo.
Oh, don't tell me it's the last hour already.
No, we heard last hour. Dan, what was that?
Some kind of like little time control.
I like professional radio. That was Bob Taylor and the Counts. Don't be unfair. That's a little early Bobby Fuller related item there. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, I sure do. Bob Taylor, wow. I know you're suppressing and repressing your emotions for Bob Taylor, Hound, right at this very moment as we speak. But Bob Taylor, wow, what a guy. And if any of you guys have read the Bobby Fuller thing or have tried to...
You should hear the parts she had to leave out of that story.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of omissions.
You
but
bet.
Like, at any rate, Bob Taylor, long-haired guy, used to sit on his amplifier and wang, wang, wang on that guitar.
Who killed Bobby Fuller? Here's a hint, everybody. Linguini.
Well, I wasn't expecting that, Hound, and you certainly... should apologize to me for lying to me about things.
What? What did I lie about?
But at any rate, let's pretend
Linguini?
that statement didn't happen.
Okay.
At any rate, Bob
Chicken
Taylor,
Bindaloo.
Wow. What a record. And we're really digging on it. We've got something else queued up.
No, we're waiting for the Vibe report to come in.
We're waiting for the Live report to come in. Meanwhile...
Get with the program, babe.
Oh, what do you call it? The Vibe report? Okay, well, at any rate, let's get back to Bobby Fuller. As we know, he's the king of the Southwest, and we were lucky
enough...
Sending
out a little signal there.
These guys got a sense of humor like a hole in the head. At any rate, he was the king of the Southwest and started out by learning a lot of things from a lot of local El Paso musicians. Bob Taylor was one of them. The Counts were one of the hottest bands around before Bobby really got swinging and winging. And Jim Reese... Fabulous Bobby Fuller IV guitar man was in the Counts, and as we know,
Roscoe.
Oh, excuse me.
Yo.
Oh yeah, I don't want to break in on the Bobby Fuller story.
I just want to make sure you're on the line. Oh no, go ahead, keep going, Miriam.
That's okay, Hound. I'm sure what he has to say is much more interesting than what I have to say.
Than Bobby Fuller? No way.
No,
go right ahead.
I thought we had him in cute. No, let's not get uppity about this.
Well, no, let's.
An honest mistake. I thought he was in queue.
I didn't want to.
No. Go ahead, Kiel. Go ahead. Don't let us bother you.
I love
Kel
my favorite
vibe, Roscoe. Kel vibe.
You want me to vibe?
Yeah, we
got
it.
Yeah, we got the vibes going.
Okay, well, you know, lately I just been coming back to town. Every time I get back, I split. Now, like, last weekend I split up to Woodstock, you know, checked out the hippie thing, you know, hanging out with, you know, I saw Levon Helm sing a couple of tunes. checked out Michael Stipe's portable DAT machine. Stereo crickets, you know. You know,
yeah.
All kinds of hip, ridiculous stuff.
Sample crickets?
Now, today I just decided that, you know, like, I saw you guys leaving, saw you guys getting that Cadillac, and I figured, you know, that's what I ought to do. I think, you know, since it's my birthday, the best way to deal with this is to get out of town. So I went down, you know, that red one that's been on our street?
The Eldorado?
Yeah, I hotwired that. I'm calling you right now from Atlantic City.
Wow. Well, stop
luck,
and see
man.
The Traineers.
Yeah, where are they playing?
The Rendezvous Lounge. Miriam, what hotel is the Traineers in? The Rendezvous Lounge up there?
I forget.
You forgot?
No, it's the, it's a two-part word. The, what is
like
it?
The Bon Ton?
No. No, it's two long words. What is it called now?
The Engelbert Humperdinck
Lounge? On the
Lounge?
Beach or something? No.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, anyway, I was talking to this
really
guy here, and I figured the Vibe Report, it could use a little music, so I come here.
Salvatore.
Okay. Just hold on, okay?
I think we have a musical interlude tonight.
Yeah, hold
folks.
On. Just check this out.
I got my hand on the echo knob. The legendary Stardust Cowboy, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Wow.
Well, you know, the cowboy thing for me is just part of my school spirit, being a former marching cowboy. And,
University of Wyoming, former marching cowboy.
There you go. Veteran of the Fiesta Bowl. Well, anyway, I shook hands with the governor of Wyoming, and Hound, soon I will shake hands with you.
Okay, Skull.
Till then, I've just got to go.
Okay, everybody, go down to CBGB's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Shake Roscoe's hand, buy him a drink, and get your voice on his live record. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Don't introduce him to your girlfriend.
Beautiful, babe. Happy birthday,
okay,
Roscoe.
Happy birthday, Skull.
Aloha.
Aloha. The state of the Vibe Report, folks. And that's how it ends. Anyway, getting back to the Bobby Fuller story.
Prepare your minds. This is it. The Bobby Fuller story.
Who shot Bobby Fuller? You won't find out here.
Then we're not supposed to talk about that.
We can't tell you. But he was murdered. He didn't drink gasoline and kill himself, right?
Bobby Fuller was born outside of Houston, Texas, moved to El Paso as a young child, and as a preteen moved back down to El Paso where he started to rock and roll and listen to all the great bands, such as Bobby Taylor, who you just heard, and started into a career that started off as a wild, wangin', fantastic, unbelievable, superciliously delicious drummer, and then picked up the guitar and started writing some songs along with Rick Stone's mom, Mary. His best friend's mom just happened to be a lyricist. He picked up on her words and started writing incredible stuff. However, if you like and enjoy or whatever instrumental music, Bobby Fuller and his various combos, Bobby Fuller 4, of which were the finest and most fantastic, happened to do some incredible instrumental stuff, and I think the Hound is dying to spin something over there.
Yeah, this is actually my favorite.
The Chase.
The Chase.
wreck. I'm having a nervous breakdown.
Your host for Vista, Herb Oscar Anderson.
I thank you, gentlemen, and hello again, everybody. This is Herb Oscar Anderson, the show Voices of Vista, and our very special guest, the Bobby Fuller Four. And I'll be telling you about Vista, volunteers in service to America. As a Vista volunteer, you will spend a year helping the people to lift themselves out of poverty. To find out more about it, write to Vista, Box A, Washington, D.C.
Yeah, go, Bobby.
Very special guest on Voices of Vista, ladies and gentlemen, the Bobby Fuller Four.
I'm not gonna tell you how it's gonna be. Are you gonna give it your love to me? You know my love and not fade away. Pop, 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 pop. Oh, well, you know my love and not fade away. Pop, 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 pop.
Yes, this is the Hound. We're gonna break in here and talk a little, because we're doing the Bobby Fuller story. This is the cover story, the new issue of Kix. Miriam is here. She wrote the Bobby Fuller story. You went down to El Paso and hung out with Randy Fuller, the bass player, and Bobby's younger brother, and Jim Reeves, the guitar player.
Yeah, we made it down there a few times and had a really pretty wild, hair-raising kind of a time. But at any rate, what I wanted to tell you was that we didn't get to spin too much more of the really early stuff because we've got to be moving right along here. But at any rate, the thing that we heard there was Nervous Breakdown first.
which was Bobby's first release on his Eastwood label. And I guess you'll have to read the story to find out how he ended up with a studio in his living room, drilling holes into his parents' walls and all that stuff. But at any rate, he did manage to get a studio into his own home and recorded that. That was his first thing, Nervous Breakdown. And we also heard Not Fade Away, which if you read the story and if you listen to Bobby Fuller, you'll find out that his number one super big wave fave was Buddy Holly. He loved Elvis, he loved Eddie Cochran, he loved Gene Vincent, but he really loved Buddy Holly, as I know you do have.
Yeah.
That's right. So at any rate, we were enjoying some of that, and we were about to move into something else, which was what, Hound? Aha!
It was the Exeter version of I Fought the Law.
Right, okay, that's Exeter Hound. Pronunciation, please. It's not Exeter, it's Exeter.
So is it Dakel or Dakeel?
It's Dakeel.
Pardon me.
But at any rate, you know, those muted symbols, symbolizations for the Italians, how they go. At any rate, so I Fought the Law was another Crickets-related kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, the Crickets wrote it and recorded it.
That's right.
In style with the Crickets, folks. Great album.
Yes, and that album belonged to Randy Fuller. Randy picked it up, took it to Bobby, and said, hey, we should cover this song, which they did. And while they were playing in Eastwood, in El Paso, they had their own team club going, which I guess you have to read to find out, because I could go on for a couple of days about what was going on at that ranky, wonky teen club. But at any rate, one of the tunes that they started doing was I Fought the Law. And the stereo version of this features a little bit of linguistic mumbo-jumbo in there. And the word fun gets mutated into something a little bit more four-lettered. Which
kind of like Frug.
That's right. So at any rate, listen real close and use your imaginations and see if you can't wig out to this. I Fought the Law.
Dedication to all the kids here that are from El Paso that came out here. All the way, baby. All the way from Tijuana. Want to sing Jenny Lee, Do the Jerk with Me. Jenny Lee, Do the Jerk with Me, along with Farmer John and Louie Louie. Thank you.
jungle.
Yep, this is the Hound, and we're continuing on with that Bobby Fuller story.
Wow.
Somebody can get the door.
Woo!
Not me.
Not me. That Bobby Fuller there demonstrating that those three big chords, E, A, B, sure go a long way.
They go the farthest, especially
no doubt about
Bobby
it.
Fuller.
They do go the distance for everyone.
Like who, for instance? What's that supposed to mean? At any rate, lively recorded, Louie, Farmer John, and Jenny Lee do the jerk with me. Unbelievable, irresistible Bobby Fuller at the peak of his career there, wanging and changing away on that guitar and singing and doing his thing. Started out in El Paso, ended up in California, came to New York, wowed a few people, and died. But at any
rate... He
didn't
die in New York, he died in California.
Yes, Hound, that's true, he did. Okay, all right, you want the route back
from
New York? Okay, from New York, they took a van, they drove, they played in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They traveled on through the Northlands, they made it to San Francisco, they played there, they went down to L.A., they came back to San Francisco.
Didn't they run over some animal or something?
At any rate.
Yeah.
Quite a combination.
And, we're not through with it yet, folks.
Okay, what is that you're doing there, Hound? You're
going to light a cigarette.
All right, do that. Don't burn any of those precious record covers that we've got there.
Wouldn't dream of it.
At any rate, featured in the Bobby Fuller story is a very interesting first-hand account by Melody Patterson, who recalled seeing him back in California,
folks.
And a beautiful, beautiful melody.
Can you read this, a little bit of it, at least for the folks?
Not me, man.
This is worth
Melody
the 450
Patterson of F Troop.
Melody Patterson, who was Wrangler
Jane
on F Troop. She writes this little reminiscence here of Bobby Fuller. Maybe we can have Lauren read it.
That's right. She certainly enjoyed it.
Boy.
Lauren,
would you like to come in here and do a...
She's busy out there reading Rolling Stones.
We need a dramatic reading of the Melody
right,
Patterson, Bobby Fuller. At least just a little piece of it there.
Step up to the mic.
Start in the dirty parts.
I just want to hear your certain words coming out of your mouth.
Uh-oh. All right, so I started the second
paragraph. Folks, this is Lauren from Rolling Stone doing a dramatic reading of Melody Patterson's Bobby Fuller reminiscence as published in the new issue of Kicks.
Unchained Melody. The best group that I ever saw live was the Beatles at the Hollywood Bowl because I got to go with Dennis Wilson.
Wow.
We'll excuse her lapse of taste because she got to go with Dennis Wilson.
Right. All right. Then would come the Rolling Stones because Mick Jagger took his shirt off. And right up there with these British guys would be Bobby Fuller because this man had a basket that had no business being on a white boy. Woo! Yeah, Bobby's Randy group
Jane.
Was the house band at some club on Sunset Strip before the hippies took it over. Teeny Bopper still ran the clubs, and Bobby, being so cute and all, ran the little girls ragged. He had those little girls screaming. After a while, you just looked at that high-pitched wailing as just another instrument in the band. It never stopped. And Bobby did everything he could to keep it going. He danced on the tables, he jumped on the dance floor, and he'd clear space out by swinging his guitar so he could dance with a special babe of the minute. The girls rushed him, hugging him, kissing him, and Bobby just kept smiling and dancing. Hey, this guy was an entertainer, though. He worked those little girls up to where they were swooning and crying, and just as their boyfriends were starting to get pissed off about this guitar player moving in on their chicks, Bobby would kick into some of his wildest, hardest rock and roll that he and the band could produce. Deep, pounding, throbbing instrumentals.
Emphasis on deep, pounding, and throbbing, folks.
Say it again. Deep, pounding, throbbing instrumentals you could feel all the way into your... Can you say it on the radio?
No, we're going to play the record. Thank you all.
Never too deep for my love.
Meanwhile, back in the States.
Yep, it's the Hound. And we're that's concluding the Bobby Fuller story there. That's
one last thought.
The deep throbbing sound.
But one last thought from the mind of Melody Patterson.
Yeah, one last. This is from the... Go ahead.
Oops.
There, there.
Okay, all right. Here's the last thought. After the Bobby Fuller evening ended, I was too pumped up to go home. So we went over to Ciro's to see this new group that was supposed to be pretty hot. They were called The Doors. They put me to sleep.
That's how Melody ends the article. You can pick up your new issue of Kicks and read the whole thing. That was Melody Patterson, Wrangler Jane of F Troop fame.
Page 21 in your hymnals, folks.
Right.
Yay!
Yeah, and before that we had Never to Be Forgotten by Bobby Fuller. Maybe.
And he is Never to Be Forgotten.
Maybe his best song.
I think you'll
ever.
Agree with that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a wild guy. Anyway, we got some more news to do here. We've been covering the riot scene, you know. And I tell you one thing though, the riot was a lot more fun than that horribly ugly peaceful protest last week. That was really a stinking hippie affair. It's amazing how as soon as the news cameras show up, these like stinking little hippies want to get their ugly little mugs. They've been waiting 20 years, you know, to get on TV.
They're still flogging it. There were three different stations doing a live feed at 11 o'clock last night. And you know what it is it's that they missed it when it was actually happening. So they feel like they have to put in like a week's worth of like, you know, dumb BS.
Why weren't they there? The thing went on for 6 hours.
Dan, you got to come closer to the...
Why weren't they there? Dan asks. The thing went on for 6 hours, and he knows, folks. Fueled on iced coffee, Dan, the professional agitator, was in the thick of it.
It's true. Like, the last I saw Dan, he was headed towards a solid wall of blue going, I got to get an iced coffee at Ray's. They can't keep me away from there. Anyway, little Bozo the Mayor... Ed Koch made a little trip down to Tompkins Square Park this week.
He whacked a few squeegees on the way down, sort of opened the car door on him.
Too bad he didn't come to 11th Street about 1:30 in the morning any of the last 3 nights. There's been heavy-duty gunfire on my block every night this week, like shotgun fire. Anyway, after making an unannounced visit to Tompkins Square Park, Mayor Koch yesterday called the troubled park a cesspool and ordered fences erected around a playground. Hey, it's my cesspool, and it freaks me out. This is a much scarier thing that I noticed. Right in front of the boys' club, they built two miniature concentration camps.
Yeah, little cages.
Little cages.
For
obviously,
the bad Ronalds.
I don't know what they're going to put in there besides people, but there's like razor tape along the top, and it's like right around the corner from my house, a little concentration camp. Here's Bozo the Mayor talking, folks. This park is a cesspool. I don't think you'll find any mothers walking through there with their little children. That's all the thing that... Jesus, of course there's lots of mothers with little children. There are hundreds of people who are disheveled drinking. I'm told there are two daycare centers nearby, and they don't bring their kids there because they don't think it's safe. A sandbox was desecrated with feces, urine, and needles.
They closed the bathrooms in the park. What do you expect?
They closed there. They closed the bathrooms. But also...
There's people walking their cats, too.
All the daycare centers bring their kids there because you can see them there every morning. Russo, this guy, First Deputy Parks Commissioner Robert Russo...
Excuse me, those aren't kids. They're outside agitators.
He said that the park during the day, children do use the park during the daytime along with a cross-section of Lower East Siders ranging from skinheads to elderly card players to deranged derelicts. Koch zeroed in on the skinheads as anarchists who have decided to take over the park as part of their class struggle. And one of these little class strugglers was quoted saying, just because the yuppies don't like the lifestyle of someone who pays less tax doesn't mean they can kick us out of the park. And we have a whole collection of letters here from the news.
Yeah, the tri-state area has responded in kind with lots of weird half-baked opinions. This is from the Daily News. They asked for it. Manhattan, a mob of out-of-control weirdos violates the law and attacks police officers who are performing their duty. Some got what they deserved but did not expect. Then our wimpy, weepy media are upset about police brutality while our fearless mayor succumbs to anarchy and lifts the curfew on the park. These thoughts, if you can describe them as that, come from a guy named Tom Carolan. Lives in Manhattan. I believe he lives in the Cristo d'Or. I'm not really sure. That's Tom Carolan, C-A-R-O-L-A-N. I'm sure he's in the directory. You might want to call him up and sort of chat with him about it. Brooklyn, when the police can't enforce a simple curfew without a bunch of disgusting leftist liberal pigs making a fuss about it, it's time for a police state! Andrew Borelli, B-O-R-E-L-L-I, Brooklyn Directory.
Better police for a better police state.
Dial 718 first, okay?
Oh, man.
Flushing Queens.
Spell Borelli for
it. Flushing Queens. It was with sadness that I watched the police take part in a Cossack raid on whoever was in their wake. I am 80 years old and have lived in New York all my life. Never have I seen the police cracking heads so freely. Neither have I, pal.
Yeah, it was pretty freely. Il Brucho here managed to get his head cracked before the riot even started.
Yeah.
A whole day in advance.
Let's talk penicillin, man. A skinhead speaks out to wrap up this segment of the riot diatribe. Manhattan. Mayor Koch told the media that the police were provoked by anarchists and skinheads. I'm surprised it didn't mention the Joker, the Penguin, Lex Luthor, and the KGB. I'm a skin, and I can tell you that what Koch said about Tompkins Square Park was ridiculous. Many skins are non-political, working-class people representing most of the ethnic groups of this great nation.
Most aren't.
Well, the exception that proves the rule. Several skins even sympathize with park curfew as a way of cleaning up the neighborhood. Huh?
Several.
On the night of the riot, most of the skins I know or know of either weren't there or were watching from a distance. Yet we got implicated. Well, you know, you can get more of a follow-through on those beer bottles if you pitch them from a distance.
No, there weren't a whole lot
of skins out there.
No, this...
There's all those weird missing foundation guys, you know, like hairy guys from Westchester.
Oh, boy. Well, so much for the riot, girls. Riot.
Yeah.
But we got some rock and roll.
What that part definitely needs is a three-hour Louie Louie.
What they need is a tape loop of the Teenage Riot album on the Atomic Passion label. Right, Miriam?
Yeah, there some genius must have put this album out.
Yeah.
Lord knows I went right trotting out and bought it and playing the daylights out of that sucker.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah, that's something that every home needs.
Anyway, we got two things queued up here, courtesy of Miriam here. We got Phil and the Flakes, Blower Scoop, and a Jack Star. Which one are we going to play?
Well, let's play Phil first.
Phil first?
Yeah, Phil first. Phil and the Flakes. Phil is a bearded weirdo from, what year was that, Hound? 61? 62?
1922.
Well, if we recall correctly, it was way before beards and long hair was in the vogue. But at any rate, he's got a thing going here, a very melodic little thing about his blower scoop, and this thing puts the automotive thing like it never got.
I have to send this right out to my own little blower scoop.
Yeah.
It was a 44 coupe with a blower scoop. The mother party and me were looking for a race, so we drove right out to the meeting place. All the cars were lining up on the track, but the one that caught my eye was painted black. It was a 44 coupe with a blower scoop.
Meanwhile, back in the jungle.
You know, this is the hand. Ben, you're standing there looking at me. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. At any rate, that was Steve Purdy. He was ragging on the weed.
And the studs.
Well, yes, Steve Purdy and the studs. And they were ragging. And his studs were yakking about the weed there. And he likes his with a hint of mint. Bruce does not.
No, I don't like menthol.
And you're a menthol guy, aren't you?
No.
Oh, you're not. I've heard you were sort of minty. No? I guess it's not. But at any rate, you've got a cassette queued up there for somebody who is going to...
The newest Norton recording star.
That's right. Now, you were always excited by Hazel Atkins when you heard him. You enjoyed Escarita when you heard him. I think you're going to enjoy what you hear when you hear Jack Starr. Our talent scouts in Dallas, Texas located this man who has been living in, what's that word when people don't know about him?
Relative obscurity.
That's right. Relative obscurity. He's been living in that kind of obscurity. And I don't know why, because this kind of a music is going to make you stomp your feet and curl your hair.
Tell the people a little about Jack, he's a makeup artist.
Born in Norton. Norton, West Virginia.
Yeah, this is totally
Norton,
cosmic.
Virginia. Yes, he ended up in Dallas. The man, at an early age, took a liking to monster movies and proceeded to specialize in monster makeup at an early age. He got a job at 17 at American International Pictures and wanted to trot out to California, but Mama said, no, you must finish your high school, and which he did. Then he lost the job.
He made some of his own movies.
That's right.
Rumble at Flagpole.
He ended up
Hill.
Making movies with titles like Rumble on Flagpole. There's a gondola going round and round. And no, that's not the name of a movie. That's what's happening here. At any rate, there was a lot of things about teen riots, a lot of switchblades, a lot of teen action going on at Flagpole Hill. And he made movies about them. He made fantastic recordings of them. And he sort of lived the legend. He was big into monster makeup, tons and tons of monster crap. And you'll see some really ghoulish pictures in the Kicks. And as soon as we get this album out, you're going to see some incredible photos and hear some sounds. Wait, that,
can I just read some of the titles of his movies?
Yes, go right ahead.
Some of the titles, these are movies that Jack actually directed and made himself. Okay, Rumble at Flagpole Hill, Teenage Hunchback, Werewolf, I Am Dead, Venus Beast. What do you think the possibilities of a Jack Starr Film Festival here in New York might be?
Well, personally speaking, I think that the proposition will go over very well. I think people will be excited by the sounds that they hear on this program that you are going to introduce to them.
Pertaining to.
That's right. And I think they're going to really want to see
paper.
Some kind of movies about this fella.
I just like to say one more thing before we play Jack Starr. I actually saw a Norton Records recording contract. It was a standard lease form, and where it said standard lease form, it was scratched out, and it said recording contract. And it had Billy and Miriam, a stamper, Cheerios stamper with their faces on it at the bottom.
Well, anyway, that may be true, but
here it is.
Let's hear Jack. Hey, let me just tell you, the first track here is going to make you stomp your feet. The second track will make you curl your hair.
Okay, stomp your feet, then curl your hair, everybody.
This is a hit!
Meanwhile, back in the States.
Yep.
Well, what did you think of that?
Woo!
Yeah, there's a couple of sides to Jackstar that you heard there, and there's about 59 others that are waiting to be seen and heard in the near future. That means in about 30 days.
It'll be out in 30 days, folks.
Yes.
What's the name of the album?
Jackstar, Born Petrified.
And we found out the secret ingredient in the Lin-Mill mystery.
Well, the thing
beverage.
About the jovial response that I thought everybody would be jumping up and down going, whoopee!
There's part of me that is jumping up and down going, whoopee.
And
I think it's the...
How big a sucker is that?
You know, the mystery ingredient, folks, we're live... She's been serving us this lemonade with a live goldfish in each jar. And like, this is a gigantic goldfish with fangs.
Hey, don't be mean to him. Hey, keep him alone! Oh! Oh! To treat a gift. Oh man!
No,
Billy, there goes your Exeter records.
Oh. The goldfish attacked us, folks.
He's okay now. He's in a cooler, and Bruce is licking his lips. He's pretty anxious to get out.
Pull the goldfish out of the little coffee cup. And,
yeah,
he's been on the floor.
The goldfish has been jumping around the floor, and it managed to work its way over to Miriam's pile of records.
Yes, I guess that the laps are on me.
Slight water damage, VG minus.
I think this one kind of backfired, didn't it? Prepare that auction list, Miller.
Anyway, it says here...
I'm wiping them down, baby.
Oh, boy. We got something else queued up, the Excels.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're in Texas. We were in Dallas there for Jackstar, so let's stay there. Let's hear the Excels. You heard the story. You read the story. We're going to hear the Excels when Bernie Bebop Coolness.
Yeah!
Meanwhile, back in the jungle.
Yep, this is the Ham, WFMU, East Orange. Listener-supported radio, like they say in the on the radio.
Yeah, anyway, radio Jacques Cousteau, folks.
That was our pal Ronnie Dawson with Jump and Run, and we heard the XLs with Let's Dance.
What does that mean, Ham?
Huh?
What does that tell you?
It means I have to read some announcements.
It tells you Dallas is really the Big D, like they say.
The Big D.
Yeah.
The blonde bomber from the Big D. Tonight on the Late Show, 9 o'clock. Why is the Late Show on at 9 o'clock? On Channel 5. Ike Turner.
New thing, apparently.
Ike Turner will be on. The Devil's Son-in-Law.
Yes, indeed.
Biggest Wiggle Stick in St. Louis. Thursday night at Tramps, the Empire State Soul Club will be meeting. Friday night, Johnny Cash at the Ritz. Roscoe and the Delores will be at CBGB Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Anyway, what else are we doing here? Miriam, where are you?
Oh, here I am. I was just back.
I hate it when guests get behind me. It's like,
okay, we wanted to hear, we got a request, several dozen requests in for something that's not in Kix magazine. And so we're going to be playing you something about tamales by Archie Peer. I think this is something that the Hound will find particularly exciting and invigorating. So why don't you give it a spin?
Here's okay, tamales rock and roll. You can fart to it, folks.
Are you ready, Pancho?
Thank you.
And meanwhile, back in the States.
Yep. This is the hell. How's Ronnie Dawson again with doo-doo-doo? We heard Archie Peer and his Rhythm Airs with Tamales Rock and Roll. All
it's 12:02 a.m.
You got the wrong time on
this. You're sounding like a machine.
You know where your children are?
It's 5:36. Do you know where my children are? Anyway, we got a little more news here.
Yeah, sports editor Guad Ignino reports.
Guad.
Yeah, the Guadster. Sid Fernandez, actually one of the few people in that team that I actually like, is into heavy metal. The night before or the morning of the game, Sid psychs himself into a peak performance frenzy over the phone with the help of hypnotist Peter Siegel. Spin Magazine reports that Siegel reminds the pitcher of his, quote, power to devastate, end quote, while Judas Priest blasts in the background. I think we ought to send him a Stooges tape, you know?
The Funhouse CD, maybe?
Yeah.
Any more news?
Well, it's time for the Ask the Hound column.
Oh, okay.
Dear Hound, I strongly identified with the man who, referring, I guess, to a previous broadcast, identified with the man who blew his stack and lost control. The consequences were tragic in his case. I was a lot luckier. While on my way to North Africa on a troop ship in June 1943, a member of my unit returned to his berth one night dead drunk and threw up all over me. I was so enraged, I went berserk. The only thing that kept me from killing the guy was that I couldn't find my trench knife. I realized soon after that he was completely out of it and was not responsible for what he did. To have killed him would have been a terrible tragedy for both of us. Later, we became good friends. I learned a lot from this experience, Hound. It taught me compassion for drunks and the value of controlling my temper. Medford, New Jersey.
Why, thank you, Medford. Oh, well,
it is nice to share, man.
My advice to you is to get a wrist sheath for your
trench knife,
buddy.
Yeah. Hang it around your neck.
You never know when the next drunk isn't going to be so friendly. I tell you. Anyway, remember, folks, the Empire State Soul Club Thursday, the Dellwoods Wednesday through Saturday.
Young Wave Hunters tonight somewhere.
Young Wave Hunters tonight at McCarthy's. That's free. That's on
McGovern's.
McGovern's, 305 Spring Street.
Still free.
Johnny Trash at the Ritz on Friday. Buck Owens, September 10th at in the middle of the Dwight Yoakam set at the Beacon Theater.
Playing with some bald drugstore cowboy in designer jeans.
Now, Miriam, you never gave me a record to queue up.
It's too bad.
You didn't ask, but apparently there's some dead air here that I'm welcome to fill.
No, we're just going to play the Big Sambo record.
Oh, no. I had something else that I gave you there, but if you're not willing to spin with that...
We can do that, yeah.
Well, let's go with that. Okay. And then we're going to be hearing from the Renegades, whose story you enjoyed and thrilled to in the new issue of Kicks Magazine. Ooh. So, hey.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Hey, Scooter, how'd you like to fly to London for a free weekend with the Dave Clark Five?
I don't know. I don't think I'd like that.
You're a loser.
A weekend in London for two with the Dave Clark Five. That's the big prize.
You've been buttering me up long enough.
Go to any drug or department store that has a special display of Revlon 7 Natural Wonder medicated makeup and treatment products. Fill out an entry blank and mail it to me, V. Mitchell Reed, at WMCA. That's all you do to get a chance to win TV sets, radios, record players, hair dryers, thousands of big swing stakes prizes.
I want to go.
The swingest prize of all time. A free weekend in London with the Dave Clark Five.
Tell me you wouldn't want to go.
I'll be phoning lots of girls in the New York area. Call you win a new hit record album right away. But whether I call you or not, you're in the big national swing stakes for those big prizes. So go to the Natural Wonder display. Get your
go with the Crest Tone. Bad Motorcycle. 1966.
Well, I've got a big piece of bad motorcycle. Bow, 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 motorcycle. Well, my little baby, she rides.
set of risers, way up there. Bob Fender's straight pipe, she's running nitro.
Baby, big wave was crashing over me. Here came a splashing and a turning and a turning and a splashing and it knocked me out of the sea.
Surf, 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 surf
This is the Ham now, and we're wrapping it up here. That was the legendary Stardust Cowboy with Kiss and Run.
It wasn't that atrocious.
Oh, boy.
What do you mean by that, Bruce?
Yeah, we heard Ned and Nell there with Surf Along.
Those were beautiful.
Yeah, that's all from the Barf and Dozen.
Barf.
You know, John Blair, the legendary surf aficionado who knows everything about anything
and
that ever made a surf.
Fine record. And dandy guitar player.
Excellent. And their last album is fantastic. John, you're the greatest.
By the way, John and the Night Riders, wasn't Nicky Six in that band from Motley Crue?
Yes, that's right.
That is true.
But at any rate, he had a Barf and Dozen going in this issue instead of his usual Boss 10. And he had that Ned Nelda who, no, it's not Captain Tennille. It was, who was that? Frank Zappa, right?
It was? I would have broken that record. I hate Frank Zappa.
Yeah, that's Frank Zappa.
Somebody mentions the word Frank Zappa, it registers as, when somebody tells me they like Frank Zappa, it registers in my mind as zero intelligence.
Well, I like Frank Zappa.
There you go, folks.
No, I'm saying that because I love the Ned and Nelda. I'm not really too wild about the, yeah, it certainly is.
The
thank
what?
You, Bruce.
What
that's
record?
Right.
He's a winner.
Yeah. I'm the world's greatest sinner. As a
oh,
sinner,
yeah, yeah,
I'm
that's the flip
yeah,
side of it.
Yeah, there you go.
How's your bird?
Take it back. At any rate, before that, we heard the Sabres. The Louis Gittins and the Sabres with My Hot Mama. And, boy, you had your foot stomping for that one.
It's a killer.
I guess
it's
it went from stomping to,
from
like, going right down your mouth, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and also from the Barf and Dozen, we heard Mike Harris and the High Tides, more like Mike Harris and the Low Tides,
yeah.
With I'm a Grammy.
Kind of the Brnachevic sound.
Yes, that's right. The Vince Brnachevic sound coming at you, going strong. It certainly did. And we heard that Kiss and Run from The Ledge, which is a nice tune to close up with. Yes, and we got another extra.
No, you forgot all about the Renegades Istanbul, the 40 years Cold 45.
How could we forget?
How could you forget the Renegades?
The Renegades, the fabulous Renegades, their story is in Kicks Magazine. And you should pick up on it as soon as possible. And at any rate, that fabulous Renegade story is in there, and you can read all about Istanbul and other fabulous things.
Yeah.
And also, what else do we have? Colt 45, as you know, that was a tribute.
The Four Wheels.
Colt 45 by the Four Wheels. Yes, that's right. Four white guys singing about a black subject. What is that that you've got cruised up there?
Anyway, folks, it's about time for us to kick off. I'd like to thank Miriam Linna for coming down here.
Thank
you. Want to know why we don't let guest DJ?
See you later.
Bill Bruce, the Denmeister.
It's so nice to be back.
Lauren from Rolling Stone with that amazing dramatic reading of Melody Patterson's letter. Andy the bartender in his big old Cadillac. And Roscoe Devine Meister and his trumpet. He'll be at CBGB, the Del Lawrence, Wednesday through next Saturday.
Featuring many trumpet solos.
Go out and buy Kix Magazine, read the Bobby Fuller story. This thing will keep you off the street for the rest of the summer, folks. 101 pages.
10,000 trips to the John.
Yep, and keep an eye out for that Jack Starr album. Thanks a lot, everybody. See you next week. Lawrence is up next, and this is Bobby Fuller 4.